Good evening. I am State Representative Shelley Rudnicki. I represent House District 108, which is Fairfield, Mercer, and Smithfield. And we are getting ready for the Five Freedoms rally to start. And I will tell you, after what was experienced today, having this rally and having Dr. Wolf here and having the speakers that we're going to be having here today, we're fortunate to do that. And after what going into the Capitol and taking Dr. Wolf into the Capitol with me today and having the governor's chief of staff actually basically yelled at us that she would have to, because she said she was a reporter and she was with the media, and he basically had us escorted off the premises because she was a guest of mine. They can't remove me, but they can remove and having a guest because we weren't in the proper location that they said we had to be in. This is the people's house, folks, and people should be able to come into that no matter what. We went through security. We went through all the stuff that went on. So that will be coming on a video soon. It takes a couple of days. They'll put it all together, and they will let me know, and I'll make sure that I update it. So we have a little bit of sprinkling here, but we have some great speakers coming today. And I really want to, you know, I think this is a good thing to go on. Hello, Representative. So we may get called, some of us may get called back to the Civic Center to take a vote, and because they're trying to do a constitutional amendment to actually change the voting age, and they have to have enough of us to stop that. So if we get called back, you know, I'm going to hand my phone over so that it's to somebody. I've already arranged to have somebody continue with this Facebook Live. So they're just getting started, and we'll be doing that. So hold on here in a minute, and I think we're getting closer. I'm not even sure what time it is, folks. So a couple minutes, I think they're going to start right on time. Representative Fecteau is coming forth. But I will tell you, the one thing that the majority party did today is they have brought, even though that some of the Democrats voted with Republicans on bills, they moved the minority report. So they moved the ones that lost the vote, they moved those bills forward so they could get their votes. And they did that intentionally. And they rammed through a number of things today. So it's been a lot going through. So that's kind of what's going on. So we are closer. And Justin's getting ready to speak. So I'm going to kind of turn the camera around. We have a lot of people. I think we had a lot of people here braving the weather. So, you know, take a look, watch what's going on. So as you can see, we're getting ready. They're getting ready to get started up here. I'll just kind of skim so that you folks can see. And I'll come the other way just because I can't twist them. And people are still coming in. And people are here, you know. They're here to see Dr. Wolf. Wow, that's not a bad idea, Brian. So we should be getting started. So last night I actually had dinner with Dr. Wolf with many other the legislators, and then we got and met to do. We met for basically a dessert reception. And Dr. Wolf actually was speaking then as well. So we got to do this, and we are, you know, looking forward to this. So hang in, and I'll just keep things going right now. Hang in. We'll be on in just a moment. Here's Justin Fecteau. I'm going to kind of move it in so you don't have to see the stairs so much. So Oops. All right, folks. So we have Representative Fecto up there, Representative Fockingham, Representative Tracy Quint is up here. We've got, trying to look to see. So Representative Laurel Libby is going to be coming into the picture. Representative from, oh my goodness, I'm so bad with some names, folks. But we have many representatives that are here. So if you look, stand against medical tyranny, support the five freedoms. Oh, good.
You gonna be all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. So, no, but I'm good. It's not bad. I mean, I can live through it.
Hello, good afternoon. How's everyone doing?
Okay, let's try that.
Yes! You all are so coming out in the rain or whatever this is. You're all Mainers. Thank you all so much for coming out. My name is Nick Murray. I'm a policy analyst with Maine Policy Institute. We're a nonprofit. We work on public policy to advance individual liberty, economic freedom. We've been very critical of the governor's blatantly unscientific mandates for the last very many months. So I'm glad to see you all here standing up against that. We have an amazing set of speakers here who have traveled from all over the region to talk about these really important issues, the five freedoms. As you all know, no mask mandates. Opening the schools 100%. Opening commerce. Letting people run their businesses, allowing folks to petition their government, assemble. It's all very important, of course. No vaccine passport, no pressure to enter society for medical treatment. So I'm glad to get this kicked off. Thank you all so much for being here. Our first speaker is Representative Justin Fecto, Augusta's own. He's a former public school teacher, Iraq war veteran, one of the loudest, most unapologetic voices for liberty in Maine today, I think, especially in the State House.
Good evening, everybody. So great to have you guys here. How do you guys feel about vaccine passports? I was on the fence, I felt. Thank you. So, these last 13 months have caused each of us to deeply reflect on our worldview. How we knew it, how we see it now, what it might look like in the future, and if we were in charge, what it would look like in our perfect world. And after dabbling in this bullcrap for the last 13 months, I have concluded the following. I despise monarchy. I despise totalitarianism. I despise decrees by unelected officials. I also despise centrally planned economies.
Can't have that.
But sadly, I also despise how weak our Constitution and our Republic has been to the whims of this authoritarianism and the East German Stasi-type authoritarianism we have seen. The post-9/11 governor powers in our state statutes have truly ripped at the fabric of our society. I remember clearly when I first saw the state statute first time, I was in pure shock. I spoke up in our caucus and I said in front of my colleagues, I just have to say this to get off my chest, but these governor powers give the governor the full ability to mass grave the entire economy. I'm far from all knowing, and I'm really horrible on the blackjack table, but I saw this from a mile out. When you give authoritarians absolute power, they will use it absolutely. I could list how these powers have impacted everyday Mainers, but you've seen the closed businesses, the broken families, the elderly dying alone, And you've seen how this has permanently damaged our children.
Put the kids back in school!
Absolutely. And like everything at the State House, you've seen this quickly turn into a partisan issue. It's disgusting. You must know, power and party will always be stronger than people and policy at the State House Country Club, so long as we do nothing more than wave flags and signs. I'm asking each of you on your ride home today to reflect and ask yourself, would you be here today? And would you still strongly oppose one person rule if that person shared a political party with you?
Yes.
God, I hope so. Do you remember the outrage and the pearl clutching every time Governor LePage said anything?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Do you remember back a few years when the governor was shut down? Do you remember the outrage? Do you remember the outrage? The actions of the majority party today show you that that was theater and you were the audience. Politicians seem to only care about transparency, collaboration, democracy, and the hardening of our Constitution when they aren't in power. I could give a damn about the Republican Party, and I'm a Republican. I care about representative government. I care about working for all Maine voices to include the elderly, our children, and the disabled. I care about rejecting one-person rule and authoritarianism. We must renew our desire for representative government. We must renew our desire for collaboration and transparency. Sadly, the disease of power and working against the Maine people behind closed doors has trickled into this building behind us. Rather than opening up the people's house, the majority party has used it as a safe refuge and a fort to meet behind closed doors, away from the view of the public and from the press, to devise plans without the consent of the public and spend months on Zoom playing out pieces of a carefully crafted play. It's fake, it's scripted, it's ceremonial.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Again, I called this on December 3rd. I said, if we refuse to act, the legislature risks becoming nothing more than ceremonial. Right. Here we are. Yeah. My call to each of you, my homework to each of you is the following. After today, put down those signs and flags. Stop arguing on Farcebook and run for something.
Yes.
Run for school board and tell the Department of Education to get bent when they put student mental health last. Run for town council and tell those East German sympathizers to sit back down when they collaborate against local families and local business owners. Run for the legislature, and when your neighbors ask you which party you are, tell them whichever one is going to respect the Constitution and all of our people the most. That's enough homework for now. Thank you so much for being here. I love our people.
Give it up for Justin Fetko! Yes, it's so important to get involved. Next up, we have someone who has been involved in state policy, state politics, involved in her community as an educator, as a homeschooler, as a member of the State Board of Education, and in her third term as a representative from Alfred. She's a farmer, she's an all-around awesome person, and she's a fighter. Give it up for Heidi Sampson.
On the lawsuit that we have currently pending, And I want to hear from people that may have been injured because of these lockdowns. So come and see me afterwards, or you'll be able to email me. I might as well just say it right now. Look at the signs over here. If you want to stay in contact, we need to stay connected, because guess what? If internet shuts down or social media shuts down, you need to be able to, we need to reach you, you need to reach us. So if you look over here on the signs, it says 5freedoms@protonmail.com. Send me your name, your number, and your address so we can send you information. So take your phones out while I'm talking and do that for me, please. So I want to let you know, I'm going to stand under here because I'm going to get the mic wet and I might get electrocuted. So I'm already fiery enough. So on March 9th, this past year, or this year, seven plaintiffs initiated a Maine Stands Up Back lawsuit against Governor Janet and three of her cabinet members. The lawsuit was filed in federal court in Bangor. So it's before Judge Lance Walker, and the magistrate judge, John Rich, is handling the discovery. So I want you to think about this. In both the Great Depression and World War I, the Supreme Court actively reviewed or instructed lower federal courts to review whether an emergency truly existed that would justify the continued application of emergency legislation that had the effect of suspending constitutional rights. It said, a law depending upon the existence of an emergency or other certain state of facts to uphold, it may cease to operate if the emergency ceases or the facts change, even though valid when passed. Where are we right now, people? Does this resonate?
Yeah.
Therefore, the lawsuit asks the court to courageously inquire into whether an emergency really exists. Conclude that it does not, and end the emergency and the emergency mandates. The lawsuit also asks the court to examine the constitutionality under the Maine Constitution of the Maine Emergency Management Act, that's MEMA, which is the law that's pursuant to which the legislature gave to Governor Mills, Justin mentioned that. So these are the powers that the legislature gave over to Janet Mills to declare an emergency and prolong it both through unilateral proclamation and to make rules and regulations to address it without any legislative participation. So let me just put a little note in here. Our Constitution gives the legislature the right to pass laws. That's it. Period. The suit alleges and asks the court to find that MEMA violates the separation of powers required by Maine's Constitution because it concentrates the legislative and executive powers in the hands of a single person. Finally, the lawsuit asks the court to find that MEMA itself and the individual emergency mandates harming the plaintiffs, so this is masks, quarantines, remote learning, business closings, cross-border travel restrictions, they all violate a range of rights protected by the federal constitution, including, for example, the First Amendment political speech, the First Amendment free exercise of religion, freedom of travel, freedom of movement, right to personal autonomy and bodily integrity. I think that encapsulates the five freedoms. What do you think, Naomi? On April 9th, the plaintiffs sought the permission of the court to conduct limited expedited discovery in advance of the time that the discovery is normally conducted. The plaintiffs asked the court to order the Maine CDC to disclose the following. The amplification cycles for each positive PCR test result.
Yes!
each PCR test conducted by the Maine Health and Environmental Laboratory. It is asking the court to disclose, or the CDC disclose, the death certificates for each death included in the COVID-19 death count, and information that will help to further identify the primary external laboratories providing the PCR test results to the CDC.
You got that right.
So that the plaintiffs can conduct discovery on all of those laboratories, asking them to disclose their amplification cycles. Yeah. I have to just add this, a little editorial. The PCR test cycling is the reason why we have 98% false positives. Boo hiss. Plaintiffs also are asking permission to serve subpoenas on two external laboratories that have already been identified by the CDC in press conferences. That's LabCorp and Quest Diagnostics. And the plaintiffs supported their motion in all of its scientific and medical particulars with the declaration of Dr. Peter A. McCullough, who testified in the U.S. Senate and in Texas Senate regarding SARS-CoV-2 virus and COVID-19 disease. So finally, the government, this is going to be a shock to all of you, all right, hold on. The government opposed our request. Shock and all. And the court asked us to try to negotiate a resolution. We conducted a meet and confer. I wish I had been a fly on the wall. With the government, as directed by the court, and not surprisingly, the government refused to release any of the information we requested from the CDC or to consent to our proposed subpoenas of LabCorp and Quest. Well, Magistrate Judge Rich has scheduled a hearing for May 5th. This is probably more information than some of you want, but I think we need it on the record.
Yes.
At which he has asked for discovery, to consider the discovery dispute and to hear arguments on both sides. And just last week, April 23rd, the government filed a motion to dismiss the complaint. Again, shock and awe. This was fully expected. It occurs in most litigation, and plaintiffs will learn a great deal about the government's legal strategies from this motion. So plaintiffs have the right. Now listen up, people. This is where you come in. Plaintiffs have the right to amend their complaint after this motion has been filed and are likely to do so in order to add new plaintiffs, add new facts, and address the government's legal arguments. So that is the update on the lawsuit. So that this lawsuit, I do believe, has legs. I've talked to a number of legal minds who have concurred. So I want to just challenge you all on a few things. So this is me. So that
this
was
is the email.
Speaking. That wasn't me. I'm not a lawyer. Probably a good thing. Anyway, I want you guys all to think about a few things here. Freedom, liberty. You know, we throw those words around. But in reality, blood, sweat, and tears have secured those freedoms for us. And they have to be protected, guarded, and preserved on a daily basis. And guess what, people? We can't bend our knee to that. We can't sit down on our duffs for that. We have to stand up because we cannot resist sitting down. We have to stand up.
Thank you.
And you all are the key. You all are the key. Because guess what? Our government, the engine of our government is what? You all. And as a legislator, and I've got my colleagues up here, these are some of the best warriors we have here. We need you, and we need your help, because together we have to take back our state. Together we have to save Maine.
Yes.
So we have all these other things going on, but this is a time for the people to stand up. This is a time for you to lock arms with your warrior legislators, and we have got to get people into office at the most local level. You know what? You want to get, you're either part of the problem or part of the solution. Your choice. Your choice. And you know what? Excuses are nothing but the skin of the truth stuck with a lie. So there's a tough truth bomb. So I want no excuses. How can you get involved? Look for opportunities where you can do something. Something is better than nothing. Making excuses and expecting somebody else to do it is not the right answer. I'll tell you that right now. I applaud all of you for coming up here today.
So that's Representative Jim Thorne.
So I want you know what? We all have that little flicker of liberty in every one of our souls. Every one of us has it. You talk to people who've lived under tyranny, that flicker is there. They will die for liberty and freedom. So our flicker, people, has gotten a little dim. It's time to fan that flame.
Yeah. And get the fire. Sheila Lyman.
Think about your family. Think about your kids. Think about your neighbors. Think about your friends. If you care about the future of this state, I'm telling you, you better fan that flame wicked hot. So I want you all to take out your phones right now. Take out your phones. Everybody has a phone, right? Okay. Write down that email, please. 5freedoms@protonmail.com. I need your name, your phone number, your address, so we can stay connected as we go forward, because this is just the beginning of a movement in the state of Maine to bring back our freedoms, the 5 freedoms, and save the state of Maine. Thank you, everybody. Yes.
Yes. How do you say it to everyone? It's so important. You know, at Maine Policy Institute, we're trying to tell people's stories as well. We're making videos about that, so you can go on our website, mainepolicy.org. We're telling stories about Aroostook County, the businesses that have been left behind, the parents who are struggling, trying to get their kids' education on the right track. And what Heidi is doing with 5 Freedoms is so important. So please, get out there, tell your story. It's such an important lesson. Just combating this perversion of science. I think just to mention the whole PCR aspect, we've written a bit about this on themainwire.com. 3 courts in Europe have struck down the PCR standard for use as a diagnostic tool because the inventor, Dr. Kerry Mullis, who passed away not 2 years ago, he said it was never used. It was never supposed to be used as a diagnostic tool. And then if you follow the science, and if you go to the research, you'll find that 1-3% of those positives actually have virus that's able to be cultured. And that's at 25 or 30 cycles. Did you know that the state of Maine's test runs to 45 cycles?
Yep.
Two to the 20th power, so it's a doubling cycle. 2 to the 20th power is 1,000,000. 2 to the 30th power is 1,000,000,000. 2 to the 40th power is 1,000,000,000,000. Our test runs to the 45th power. So it's an order of magnitude more specific than any even other states in the union. So just chew on that a bit. So I'm excited to introduce our next speaker, Mr. Kevin Jenkins. Mr. Jenkins is a public speaker, a transformational executive, an impressive track record, leading change with the Urban Global Health Alliance. He's a CEO and founder at Freedom Travel Alliance. He'll tell you more about that. He's a lifelong champion for human rights in the Black community, and as a founder of Urban Health Global Alliance, he shows his dedication to these rights. The mission of UGHA is to educate, empower, and release urban communities and their leaders from decades of indoctrination and suppression, and to create effective public policy which safeguard rights of equality. Please, give it up, Maine, for Kevin Jenkins.
I just want to say, I travel all around the country, and I got to tell you, I'm very proud of these legislators. You should be very proud of them.
Yeah!
Heidi, very proud of you because, you know, I run into a lot of legislators that do nothing for us.
Yeah.
You know, our government has failed us. And it's time for us to take back our government. You know, this year for me is about action. You know, I've been watching people all around the country and small places talking about how do we fight back and what do we do. We're all so afraid, but it's time to stop being afraid. I am not motivated by fear because I always tell everybody I speak to that we need to find our God courage. And I think that's our common part of God courage. You know, I was in Connecticut yesterday with possibly about 5,000, 7,000 people fighting for their religious freedom. Can you imagine in this country that we're fighting for our religious freedom to protect our children?
Amazing!
I mean, it's just heartbreaking. The legislators was in that building, not even listening to the people that pay their salaries. People that voted them into office. People that they swore that they would serve them and protect them, and they have failed us. They now work for the oligarchs. They now work for, you know, the tech titans. They don't work for us anymore. So the question today on this chilly day in the rain is, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to stand? Are we going to stand up? Are we going to work with these legislators? You know, listen, I'm here to talk about one of the principles that my friend Naomi, my new friend, is talking about. You know, I'm kind of like taking a low tone today because I was kind of wound up yesterday. This is so serious. You know, everybody's talking about the vaccine passport. I would call it the vaccine passport. I call it the slave passport. We need to stop calling it the vaccine passport and call it what it is. Okay, because I know something about that. My ancestors knew something about that. You know? And so while everybody's going around here talking about race, because this has nothing to do with race. This has something to do with saving humanity.
Yes.
This has something to do with protecting our families. This has something to do with holding dear to the things that everybody, your ancestors fought for, my ancestors fought for. They fought for that American flag. Every patriot that fought a war, everybody that stood in the rain during the civil rights movement, they fought for us to be free. So the question, I have to keep asking this question, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to get on the phone tonight? Are you going to call every person? Are you going to say it's time to walk out into the sun? Or are you going to say it's time to get up and stand strong for our children? Because all of you are in this rain is for our children. Our children are doomed if we don't stand up. So it's not the vaccine passport, it is the slave passport. To take everything from you, to strip you of your humanity, to strip you of your love, to strip you of your hope, to trap you in fear, and they've done a good job. You know why? Because we got lazy. We forgot what this country was all about. And it's not about race, it's about humanity. This whole three-card Monty they're playing on us about race, we should be ashamed of ourselves as Americans that allow that to happen.
Yeah.
I'm talking about black Americans, I'm talking about white Americans. I don't care what tribe you belong to. We should be ashamed as Americans that we've allowed this to happen. That governor can sit in that building and dictate to us like she's a king or a queen. Legislators can pass bills to take away our future. That's our fault.
Yes.
How can they come up with something so insidious to say that who's healthy, who's not healthy, who can breathe, who can love, who can travel? What are we going to do about it? So this is the year of action for me, and this should be the year of action for you. Because guess what? They've shown us what their action is. They've shown us. They've told us. They do not value us. So this thing about Black Lives Matter, I laugh about it all the time. I'm an older guy now. I don't understand what it means to matter. I know what it means to have value. If every one of you in this audience standing out in this rain has value as human beings. So now, think about this, how we can fool everybody. If we come together, you and I, instead of fighting about what you see on MSNBC, can you believe that? Rachel Maddow now is driving public policy in the country. It's unbelievable. So here's the deal. I'm going to leave you now. You see these people here? Can you come up here, please, for a minute? Come out of the rain. Come here for a second. I want everybody to see who these people are.
These legislators have their finger in the dike. And you need to be standing with them. You need to be showing them respect. Every time they call you to go after those tyrants in that building, you need to be behind them. Because you don't have leader. You have black legislators in this country that know something about slavery that turned their backs on their people. They now work for Big Pharma. You have the black church closed up their church and zoomed in Jesus and then opened up their church to sell the devil's products. That's the church I grew up in. That's the church I no longer want to be a part of.
Yes, right.
I want a church that understands the power of God and the power of Christ. I want my kids to grow up in a faithful community. Not a community that sounds deaf on TV. Somebody just said the other day, kids are going to remember the victims on the street as opposed to remember the good people that are living. So I want to tell you I love all of you. I got to go do a radio show. I don't know what the hell I'm going to say. But I got to tell you, you are some strong people, and we have to work together. Don't let them fool us. Look, find somebody that looks different than you. Find somebody that acts different than you. Find somebody that you might not agree with and say, we don't work together, we will not have an America. Now think of all of those people that died for us. So I always try to give a little story before I go. I'm getting better with it. My ancestors came into this country in the bottom of the ship. And when they came across the Atlantic Ocean, when they came out of the bottom of the ship, they saw this beautiful light, but it was a light of horror. It was not a light of hope. It was not a light of love. But they had enough God courage to know that if they crossed that river when they ran away, that they could fight, come back to fight against injustice. They could come back and fight for the ones they had to leave. Now, are you going to leave anybody behind? Are you going to cross the river? Are you going to cross the river to fight for those people that struggled for you? Yeah. Are you prepared to do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm not going to keep you much longer because I can talk a lot. But I love all of you, and God bless you. I'm moving. I think I'm going tomorrow to Las Vegas. I guess I'll be there. Because I'm going to be speaking to a group of black Americans that believe what you believe. So, come and join us at the Urban Global Health Alliance. We started that institution a year ago to work with people like you to change the culture of health in this country. But now we find ourselves in the middle of a storm, and guess what? God is walking with us every day. So come and join us at Urban Global Health Alliance. And I thank you very much.
Representative Libby and I are here too. She's keeping me dry, or the phone dry, folks.
Liberty is for everyone. It has to be. No matter your stripe, no matter your color, it has to be for everyone. That's what this is about. And so I'm so excited because we have a special visitor, Dr. Naomi Wolf, to wrap this rally up for you folks. You'll hear a lot about her history. She was a Democratic strategist. She's been a New York Times bestseller, written 8 best-selling books. She's a CEO of a tech company called Daily Cloud. And an event last night with legislators, she spoke a lot about how her journey from that world, from the Democratic political consultant world, sort of morphed into this greater family of friends that she's found because she's embraced these core freedoms that we're all here for. And I think that's a great lesson for all of us to reach out to the folks that don't feel the way that we do about every single issue. I think Ronald Reagan said it, I'll work with anyone to do right and work with no one to do wrong. And that's what we have to be about. So I think it's so important to hear what she has to say about that. You know, a lot of our friends on the left, they see the world in terms of oppressor versus oppressed. And I think the state of anything, it has been a system of oppression for a lot of folks in the last year and a half. And so I think we can all rally around that. Please, Maine, please welcome Dr. Naomi Wolf.
Thank you, state legislators, thank you so much. Thank you to my amazing fellow speakers, but really, truly, most of all, and I think I'm sharing the feeling of everyone up here, thank you to you for standing in the rain with your loved ones and your friends and your beautiful dog. and your babies. Those are some. Those are going to be some very strong babies to stand up for this flag. Yes. I'm going to come towards you a little bit in my high heels. You know, in the last year, we've all been separated from one another in our rooms, our bedrooms, our living rooms, and by force of law. And there's a reason we've been separated from one another, and it is not based on science. As it turns out, there are 33 studies now that my institute, AIER, where I'm a fellow, have collected that show that the whole lockdown policy, which has restricted lives, stunted educations, crushed businesses, driven many people in the developing world to starvation, the whole lockdown policy doesn't work. It was a catastrophic mistake. Dr. Mills, it didn't work. Yeah. The science is in. It didn't work. It doesn't work. It's not based on reality. It's based on some sort of medieval fantasy conjecture. It didn't work. What it did do is ruin lives, as many of you have said. But what I want to say is there's a reason this policy, and I speak as a former political consultant, there's a reason this policy so carefully separated you and me from you and you from me. And there's a reason that it forced us to get all of our information from the news media and from digital platforms, harvesting our data, surveilling us. What is the reason that we were separated? The reason that we were separated for a year is that there is nothing on earth more powerful, history shows, than what is before my eyes right now. A group of citizens. And not just a group of citizens together standing in human space, in a human dimension, where you can turn to each other and talk to each other, share information, create new alliances without the surveillance of the state or the management of Zuckerberg or, you know, Twitter. There's nothing more powerful than a group of citizens who, as my wonderful colleague, Representative Sampson said, have that fire of liberty still in their hearts. And remember what it's like to be free citizens in the United States of America. Do you remember that? Do you remember what that feels like?
Yes.
I remember it. And I want my children to know that feeling. Don't forget that feeling of being free in this country the way our founders intended and the way they trusted us to defend that feeling. Don't forget it. And that's why you've been kept apart, because you remind each other what it feels like. You remind each other that you are strong together. They cannot stop you peacefully changing this tyranny. It's true. I just want to say that. And I want to say, and then I promise I'll tell you the things I'm here for, apart from what's breaking my heart truly every day. But I walked with State Representative Rudnicki, I beg your pardon.
Sorry.
Shelley, to go inside the state legislature today, to follow her with a camera, to watch her knock on the door of the governor. And I'm a Democrat, so this is not partisan, right? This, as many of you have said, it's really like my brothers and sisters are the ones who love the Constitution. We can argue another time about the things that divide us. Right now, you are my closest brothers and sisters. Even if we don't agree on a million policies, you are my soldiers, you are my allies. We're in the trenches together, and we have to love each other. As Kevin said, we have to, all right? But this was one of the saddest days of my life, because I walked into an empty state house. I was stopped by a kind of official who was doing her best, but a million laws and regulations have been put in place to keep the citizens of this state from simply walking into the people's house!
Yes.
The people's house! That is your house! No one should keep you out of it! and that this nation was founded so you could walk right into the State House and no one would stop you.
That's right.
Peacefully. I'm always going to say peacefully. But it was heartbreaking because after all the labor of getting in, I watched the state representative knock on the door of the governor's office. And she's knocked on that door 34 times. And she puts it live on Facebook. And the governor has not been speaking to her. So I am a Democrat. This is beyond partisanship. I don't agree with every single sign I see. It doesn't matter. You are my beloved friends and allies. That, the fact, like, I have been to countries that live in tyranny. As Kevin was saying, as Heidi was saying, that's what it looks like. The governor or the pasha or the prince or the king or the tyrant doesn't bother opening the door to the people who were sent by the people of Maine to represent them.
It's an abomination.
It's very bad. It's very bad. And the reason that people with tyrannical powers act like that is they know that there will be no accountability and no transparency. And then as a journalist, as I was filming this, I asked if I could ask some questions to the staffer who answered the door and took the name of the person I was recording, and the chief of staff was brought out, or came out, and I asked if I could ask some questions. I'm a reporter, I'm a peaceful reporter, I have a platform that tells you about democracy that has 240,000 followers, I have 30 million Twitter impressions. I just want to tell the world what's happening here in Maine, because Maine and California are the two most suppressed, oppressed, suffocated, crushed states in this country, and our country is suffering, right? So people need to know what is happening to the people of Maine. That's what my job is. I'm a reporter. And what this man said to me is that he wouldn't answer my questions, and then I asked why not. I'm a journalist, and he said, he shouted, "You don't belong here."
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you something. I belong here. You belong here. I am entitled to ask these questions. You are entitled to hear the answers. You are entitled to demand peacefully that you get your house back, that you get your leaders back, that you get your state back, because they work for you. That's the way our founders set it up.
It will be
up. I want to check it. It's on video. But again, I really want to say peaceful, peaceful, peaceful. Everyone, peaceful, beautifully mannered. Here's why. You will be infiltrated. There will be dividers. You will be, you know, made to look crazy or like conspiracy theorists when you are just American citizens protecting your liberties. And so the more peaceful, And this is a lesson I learned from the civil rights movement. You know, they wore beautiful suits and dresses when they were marching. And I know it's not the weather for it, but, you know, they sang rather than chanting, right? The great revolutions are singing revolutions. So be peaceful so no one can, you know, sing. Don't clash. Don't, you know, march. That can be turned against you. But stand up together peacefully and demand your rights. Well, that's true. That's true. And I do want to say I looked up the definition of, you know, what is it actually legally when leaders of a country suspend the rule of law? And it's actually subversion. When you actively work to not enforce the laws of the country, that is subversion, and it's a crime. We can talk about that another time. But I just want to quickly wrap up because you're getting drenched. I wrote a book called The End of America, you gentlemen and ladies have heard this, about 12 years ago. And I saw from looking at history that there are 10 things a would-be dictator always does, whether that person is on the left or on the right. 10 steps that always work to close democracy. You start by invoking a terrifying internal and external threat. It can be based on a real threat, like terrorism was used to strip our rights. It was very real. you know, coronavirus has been very real. But then you hype it. You know, you go on to create a surveillance state. You go on to create places that are beyond the rule of law, like Guantanamo. You go on to criminalize dissent and crush critics of the government. Call them, you know, saboteurs or enemies of the state. And the last step is suspend the rule of law and declare emergency law. That is step 10. Thank you, Darby. So for 12 years, people have said, Naomi, will you tell us when we're at step 10? There's no going back from step 10 without terrible things happening, history shows. And I, you know, for 12 years, we've been almost there, but we pulled back from the brink. Well, I'm here to tell you this is step 10. This is step 10. 14 months in Maine emergency law, that is step 10. That is the end of America. That is the end of democracy. So you don't have any time to waste. And the other thing I found out from being a political consultant is that people don't have a seat at the table, right? Special interests do, lobbyists do, and there are many good people, many of them I've met here, trying to represent your interests, but the system is stacked against them to even do their jobs because the people don't have a seat at the table. So I co-founded Daily Cloud with my wonderful colleague, Tonio Scali, who's been so helpful, and we've been joined by a wonderful lawyer and other wonderful people. And Daily Cloud is where the Five Freedoms campaign was launched. And what Daily Cloud does, I always thought, well, why can't the people draft the bills and bring them to their state legislators or to Congress? Why does it have to be the other way around? So that's what we've done. And we have a fantastic lawyer who's drafting the bills, and there's a fantastic no vaccine passport bill that you guys should get behind. And you can find out on Daily Cloud and also on this campaign, because there can be many, many, many. It is a national movement, hopefully a global movement. We're kicking it off here. Find out how you can help, and not just running for office. Many of you, you know, are working full-time or have small children. It's a lot to do. But even just having a dinner party or a potluck, or have friends over for drinks and tell them about this legislation, share it, and also reach out to these representatives or your own and look at their bills and support the bills that give you back your liberties and oppose the ones that don't and keep them accountable. And so the last thing I want to say is the scariest thing that happened today was that on the way to knock on the governor's door, we peeked into the chamber where the legislature usually sits. And honestly, there are nights I cry, you know, there really are, and I almost cried because all the way down that corridor, there were images of past legislators. You know, you could see them changing, like women showed up in the, you know, 70s or 80s. And, you know, they went all the way back probably to the early 19th century, maybe even earlier. And it was the history of Maine. And it was the history of people, good and bad, well-intended, not well-intended, who joined together in this beautiful chain of protecting the rights and liberties of the people of Maine. Not perfectly, right? We know our country has not been perfect, but always with that perfect ideal of equality and liberty for all. Well, that chamber was constructed so that there's a gallery, and the gallery means the people can watch the legislature in session, and they can talk to each other, and they can observe, and it's transparent, and it's accountable. Well, where is the legislature now? They're meeting in Civic Center, right? I can't go there. Can you go there? Can you go to Civic Center and watch them? Okay, do you know what that is? That is East Germany in the 50s. That is not America. That is not America. Now, I want to say one more thing. I just found out that the governor removed the mask mandate yesterday.
Outdoors.
It's not over. I'm just showing you your power. Everyone doesn't want to show you your power on the media, you know, by tyrants who are ruling us. Look at the timing.
No, I do.
Look at the timing. This was happening. other things were happening. People were connecting and networking. There was scrutiny on this tyrannical group of people who have seized Maine, right? So they gave a little bit of something. That's how politics works, but that means you have to keep going and lead. And lead. And push on and build your place and value. And that's really everything I'm here to say, except that I get so sad when I think that we're losing everything so quickly. But when I see you all and when I leave here, I'm going to be feeling stronger and braver and heartened and like I've seen Americans again. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you all so much for coming today. We did have some media, so our speakers, the representatives who joined us, and Dr. Wolf and Mr. Jenkins, we would direct the media to go speak with them about this event and about the Five Freedoms campaign. At this point, we're sort of wrapping up the rally portion. We want to open it up to you to share your thoughts, 2 minutes per person, ideally. But just in the vein of sharing your story, sending that story to fivefreedoms@protonmail.com, going to mainpolicy.org and submitting your story there so we can make it into a COVID catastrophe video series. Also on mainpolicy.org, if you hover over our issues tab, you'll see a bunch of petition forms. So we've got a petition form where you can send a direct email to Dr. Shaw and Commissioner Jean Lambrew about this idea of vaccine passports, this specter of an idea that needs to go away immediately. So please go do that. We've already had almost 700 people do that and send an email to them. So please get involved, follow the advice of all these great speakers. And thank you so much for coming. I'm glad to have any registered to speak to. I was passed by a gentleman.
Am getting ready to sign off.
I was passed by a gentleman a piece of the Maine Constitution to read to you all. Okay. Article 1, Section 15, the right to petition.
So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and sign off now.
At all times,
so
in an
thank you very much for tuning in.
Assemble,
and
to consult upon the common good.
It is pouring out here, so we're going to head out.